James chapter 2, I want to start reading with verse 23. The Bible reads in James chapter 2, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. Underline that in your Bible if you're taking notes. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Notice when you believe God, righteousness means right standing. You can come boldly through the throne of grace with a petition and a supplication because you're in righteousness. Now, you may not feel righteous, but it has nothing to do about what you feel. It has everything to do about what you believe. So what made Abraham what he was that he believed God. God is looking for people even today that will believe him, stand for him. Now, all my life, and I'm going to finish reading this in a minute, all my life, after I got born again and I met the Lord, I wanted a God I could talk to. In fact, I wrote a book called Wanting a God That I Could Talk To. Because there was always somebody putting someone between me and God. You see what I'm saying? When I thought, can I talk to God? I mean, it's nice being able to talk to the CEO. Because you know that person can make a decision. Me and Kathy and all our business dealings in the ministry as well as our physical thing, we never take no from a person who cannot say yes. A lot of times we ask for something and they say, oh, no, you can't do that. I say, excuse me, do you have the power to say yes? They said, no. I said, well, go get your manager. Go get someone ahead. You get up high enough, you'll find the person that can say yes. So never take no from a person who cannot say yes. That's a good business thing as well as a good spiritual thing or physical thing. So we find out if Kathy wants something, she says, let's go higher. I'll never forget one time I was talking to this person. I said, the only person that can make that decision is the president. I said, get him. They said, excuse me? He's the president. I said, so am I. I'm a president of a corporation myself. Presidents know how to talk to each other. Get him on the phone. Get him on the phone. I wouldn't tell you. I said, get him on the phone. Okay. And I said, hello, I'm Joseph. I'm the president. He said, I said, hey, I need something. He said, what you need? I said, this and that. He said, put it back on the phone. He said, do it. He said, put him back. He said, you need anything else, Reverend Doctor? I said, no, sir. That'll take care of me. He said, thank you very much. I said, thank you too. I said, would you like to go to lunch? He said, I'd love to go to lunch. I said, are you going to be here? Yeah. I said, why don't we go to lunch? We scheduled a lunch. It was great. Now, I'm not bragging on that, but I knew if I just got high enough, you're going to find the person who can make that decision, whether it be male or female. See what I'm saying? In family, whatever. It don't make no difference. Somebody can make that decision. So Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, when I got saved, got born again, I wanted to get close to God, but I didn't know how. Because the only way I was taught was through religious ways. Homiletics, hermeneutics, philosophy, theology. Which I studied. I am Dr. Jesse Duplantis. Don't misunderstand me. But I thought, I need more than that. I need this. Hello, Jesus. Hi, Jesse. Oh, what you need is a friend. Yeah. And when I read this verse in 1974, it said this, and verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled with, says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, buddy, that's as high as you can get when you're called the friend of God. The Muslims all over the world today call Abraham the friend. Where he's buried at, supposedly where they have his body at, it's actually in Arabic there, friend, the friend. He was called the friend of God. I want to talk this morning about the value, write this down, the title of this message is, the value of friend, of a friend, or the value of friendship. The value of a friend. Now the Bible says a friend sticketh closer than a brother, which means if you have a friend, if they'll get closer to you, they or she, whoever it is, then actually family members, if they're true friends, not acquaintances, but friends. And I've said this here before and I'll say it again. This is my personal opinion. I believe in your whole life, you may find maybe, this is pushing it, maybe five good friends in your whole life. You may have a lot of acquaintances, but I'm talking about friends, and we're going to deal with the value of a friend. In other words, that somebody you can talk to, something that can be kept private, you can say anything to, someone that's willing to tell you when you're wrong and tell you when you're right. That's the value of a friend. And you'll see that relationship between Abraham and God through the scripture. Even the Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the king of Jerusalem said, he is a friend of God. People recognize that because that's a valuable tool in one's life. So write this down, the very life Blood of friendship. How do you make a friend? What is the value of a friend? The very lifeblood of friendship is mutual confidence. The very lifeblood of friendship is mutual confidence. Friends love and trust one another. In other words, to make a friend, a bond has to come. Not an acquaintance. A bond has to come. A mutual confidence. You believe that person believes you. You account each other righteous or in right standing with each other. That's what made Abraham the patriarch of the scripture. He was accounted because he believed God. And he would talk to God like some of you would never talk to. In fact, he became so friendly with God that when God went to Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, "Will the great God do right?" Now, you know, most people would never say that to God. But when you are friends with him, when you're on a first name basis, when you understand the value of a friend, when you have mutual confidence between each other, you trust and love each other. So the very lifeblood of friendship is mutual confidence. Friends love and trust one another. Now, see, when you understand it, when you begin to trust each other, you let people come into your inner circle. And I want to tell you something. Be very careful with that. That let people get close to you, but if you're going to let them get that close, they must have mutual confidence. You must have total confidence in this individual because a friend sticketh closer than a brother. Now, what does friends do? Number one, they visit each other. Friends, write this down, visit each other, and secrets are disclosed, which makes friendship grow. Friends visit each other, and secrets are disclosed among friends, which makes that friendship grow. Even God said, Should I do something without speaking to my friend? Should I go tell Abraham about this situation, even though God could do what he wanted to do? You see, God spoke secrets to Abraham that he never spoke to anyone else. I'm going to say something, going to knock your socks off. I am a man that's very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. I live for God on a daily basis. I've had God tell me some things. I'm telling you one thing that I'm amazed that God has taken me in places I never thought I would be. But what happened is we've disclosed secrets with each other. I've had God tell me why somebody didn't get healed, but it was not to be told to them so that I could preach the gospel and cause them to open up a pathway to their healing. Sometimes God will tell you some things, but it's not to be spoken to an individual or to a crowd, but it's for you for wisdom and understanding and knowledge how to get that over to that individual. Now, let me do a little preaching. I'll get funny after a while, but let me do a little preaching because I'm dealing with the value of a friend. So friends visit each other and secrets are disclosed, which makes friendship grow. You know, a lot of people say, "Boy, Jesse, you really razz Kathy hard." And Kathy, when she preaches to me, about me, she razz me hard. You know, not only is Kathy my wife, but Kathy is my friend. I like being around my wife. She likes being around with me. Now there are times that I wish she'd go somewhere. And they used to lie about it. And there are times I know she want me to go. "Don't you have a place to go?" And I say, "Yes." But you know, if we're away from each other for just a little while, we begin to go, "Oh, bless God." And I'm also a businessman. I got to watch myself because I tend to look at business. And a lot of times if I'm away from Kathy a week or so, I'll come back. And the first thing I want to know, and I shouldn't, is I should hug my wife, kiss her, tell her, "Hey, I miss you." First thing I do, I say, "Where's Mary? What do I need to know? What's going on?" And she goes, "Excuse me, I am here." And she's rebuked me, and I deserve the rebuke. But you know, I mean, I am a CEO of a major corporation here. I got to make sure this thing running. That's not an excuse. I am your friend. See, friends take precedent in every situation. A friend stick it close. A friend is never an intruder. A friend is always a visitor. Now, acquaintance can become an intruder. Let me say it again. Friends visit each other. And secrets are disclosed, which makes friendship grow. Why? Because you have mutual confidence in each other. You see what I'm saying? And when you begin to realize it, and you know, I'm going to tell you something about friends. Friends, the value of a friend. God begins to bring people together because you complement each other. Sometimes a friend is the only one that can tell you when you're doing something wrong. You won't accept it from anybody else. But you know you love this person loves you with a love of friendship, and they say, "You know, that person is looking out for my betterment, looking out so that I don't mess up." You see, and even though you might get mad at each other, you don't stay mad at each other alone. It's almost like a marriage. If you truly love your wife, you're going to get angry. I mean, you're going to get mad at each other. Me and Kathy would have never, ever had an argument if she would listen to me. That made good sense, but no. You know, she said, "Let me tell you something, big boy. God created man." And he said, "It ain't good enough." So he created us. Okay, I got it. He created woman, which means whoa, man. Slow it down. Whoa, man. That's what that means. Woman, whoa, man. So I've had Kathy tell me secrets. Now, y'all think I've told y'all everything we've ever done. No, no. There's a lot of things that goes on that by me and Kathy you will never know. Not that we have anything to hide. It's just that we have mutual confidence in each other. You see what I'm saying? And we've disclosed secrets to each other. Well, I've done that with certain friends of mine. Very few. I have very few friends. I have a lot of acquaintances, but I have very, very few friends that I literally open myself up, that I open up my inner circle. Not that I'm a big shot, but that's a very tender area in life. And you need to protect that. So let me say it again. The very life, write this down, the very lifeblood of your friendship is mutual confidence. Friends love and trust one another. Friends visit each other and secrets are disclosed, which makes friendship grow. Now, let me get on to this part here. Friends have frank and open conversations with each other. That's what God said. Shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I will do? See, you have frank and open discussions. You're able to talk. You don't always agree with a friend. You can agree to disagree. Said, well, you may believe that, but I don't believe that, but that's okay. You're still friends. See, when God came down and said, Sodom and Gomorrah is in terrible sin. Can I do anything without talking to my friend Abraham? So he goes down that. Now, Abraham knows that his nephew's in there a lot. And he says, will the great God do right? Ooh, Lord, that's a strong statement. Will the great God do right? He said, would you save the city for 50 righteous? Now, listen, when you have frank conversation with friends, now he's bartering with God. Can you imagine bartering with God? You do this, I do that. Hey, we all get a piece. That don't make any sense. But when you're a friend, you can handle that. He said, will the great God do right? And he said, what do you mean by that? He said, would you save the city for 50 righteous? The Lord said, yeah, I'll do that. He said, well, since we're talking, 40. The Lord said, sure. See, now they have frank conversation between each other. These are friends. God and Abraham are friends. You know, we're the only species that God visits. He don't visit gorillas. He don't visit chimpanzees. He don't visit elk, even though he created them. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visited him? Man, son of man, same verse. He'll visit you. He said, 30 righteous? The Lord said, hey, where we at here, Bull Rivage? We had a casino here. What do you think? I'll save it for 30. Okay, let's talk. 20. I'll do it for 20, Abraham. 10. He knew that was a very wicked city. God said, I'll do it for 10. Now, here's where Abraham's faith ran out, not friendship. His faith ran out. He said, Lord, I went from 50 to 10. He certainly wouldn't take anything. If Abraham would have said, Lord, would you save it for one? God would have saved it for righteous, for Lot's sake, because of the righteousness accounted to Abraham. But he ran out. But notice this, because God knew that Abraham loved Lot, even though Lot made some mistakes, God saved Lot. Now, well, why would you ever name a boy named Lot? You think his mama had a real estate deal going on when he was born? Lot. I'm almost wondering. I'm going to have to ask the Lord that. Why did you name that boy Lot? I don't know. Friends have frank and open conversations with each other. I've done that with the Lord. I've had the Lord say, Jesse, I've had God come tell me, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I've had the Lord say, what do you think about this? God has asked me for my opinion. I said, well, Lord, since you ask, maybe I'm doing it. He said, no, we can talk frankly. What do you think? I said, well, I don't think you ought to do that. He said, why you don't think I ought to do that? I said, well, you know, I know you know people more than I do, but you know, Lord, if you just let me do a little bit more work on this individual, I think we can get them to you. He says, okay, go ahead. Do what you have to do. And I tell you what, the Bible says he who wins souls is wise. Now, I had to make some extra effort. I had to do something because I knew this guy was heading into trouble like you never seen. But you know, because he's bullheaded. But he likes me. I knew that he liked, and he respected what I said, and he respected me as a minister. So I came at him on that foundation. And you know, I saved that boy. And after it was all said and done, I said, I want to tell you something. The Lord spoke to me about that. I said, I'm going to show you without a shadow of a doubt. I'm going to reveal something to you that only you know. There's no way you've never told me, no one's ever told me, that the Lord spoke to me, and I revealed. He went, man, his eyes got that big. He said, my God, Jesse, you saved me. I said, yes, I did. And I went back to the Lord. I said, Lord, how did I do? He said, you did well. You did well. And it made me feel so good. I remember going home. I was flying home. I thought, man, you must think a lot of me. I was just thinking that. Boy, the Lord must think a lot of me. He said, I do. He broke into my thought process. I do. Then I realized I'm his friend. See, I wanted that when I first got saved, Kenny. Lord, can I be your friend? You know what the Lord said? Jesse, I need a friend. See? And when you need a friend, boy, that's the best thing you can have when you're going through tough times. So friends have frank and open conversations with each other. Now write this down. Friendship cannot be one-sided. Some people want it to be one-sided. Friendship creates a measure of equality between the persons concerned. Let me say it again. Friendship cannot be one-sided. Friendship creates a measure of equality between the persons concerned. In other words, it's not that you're better than them and they're better than you, but there is equality there. It can't be one-sided. I tried to be a man's friend one time for 12 years. 12 years. I went out my way to be this man's friend, but it was always one-sided. That's happened to me twice in my life because the Lord told me to. I'll be honest with you, I needed a friend. I liked him. He liked me. But he would never, ever, ever, I mean, for some reason or another, it was one-sided. I did everything I could for that guy, spiritually, physically, financially. I did all. Well, now I found out that his life has been destroyed. Finally, I'll never forget when the Lord said, don't go back no more. Don't do that no more. Oh, I felt so bad. I said, Lord, he said, you gave him 12 years. I've given my mercy. See, one of the saddest statements in the scriptures, in my opinion, is God really loved Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. You understand? He was a head and shoulder taller than anybody else. Saul had ability. Saul had quality. But Saul was rebellious. And you know what God told Samuel? Don't pray for Saul no more. That's a sad statement when God himself says Saul has crossed over the line. You see what I'm saying? And I mean, I said, Lord, can I try? Can I do it one more time? He said, no. Now, he will abuse you if you go back. You've done all you knew. So I backed away and I just found out that his life is in total disarray and destroyed. What do I do now? You know, now I'll just pray for him. That's all I can do. And then that's up between him and God. But it can get to a point where God will tell someone that's been praying for you. If you keep crossing that line, don't pray for him anymore. There is that. He said he won't always strive with a man. See what I'm saying? And that's a strong statement, but that's true. Let me say it again. Friendship cannot be one-sided. Friendship creates a measure of equality between the persons concerned. Let me give you a prime example. How many of y'all know Pat and Louisa? Everybody know Pat and Louisa? We consider them good friends. Those people are in my inner circle. You know, I love those people. They're blessings to me, all right? You see my hair? Everybody look at my hair. Get a shot of my hair. Get a shot of my hair. Now, Kathy thinks my hair looks like a football helmet. That it just sat on my head. See, it don't move. See? Wow, I sprayed it with her stuff. Or my stuff now. Boy, that stuff's powerful. The other day I hit a roach and I bronzed him. He couldn't. I said, it's extra hard. Now, Louisa, I love Louisa. You know, she talks. She said, that's it. Let me get my hands in that hair. No, let me fix your hair. Let me spike it. Let me do it. And Kathy says, yeah. See, Kathy's feeding Louisa. Feeding it. But I'm a football man. I like my hair to look the way it looks. I'm glad I got hair. Most of my friends don't have hair. You see what I'm saying? Thank God. Now, I don't doubt that Louisa could make me look different. Give me a, what they call that, an update. Whatever you call it, something like that. What, is that an update? Is that right? I don't know. I messed up the other day between nails and toes. All I know, you got nails on both of them. That's all I know. I think he was having a pedicure. No, that's down here, isn't it? Okay, well, anyway, glory to God. And but Kathy said, but you look the same. You look the same. She said, you know, when I married you, you're long-haired freaky boy. Yeah, you wouldn't change that. Lord, dude, no. But I mean, you just get in there. You're in a rut. You look the same. I said, I don't care. This is my hair. You want to shave your head? Shave your head. Do what you want to do. I don't care if you make it orange. You can spike it. You can do whatever you want. Leave my hair alone. So the other day, Louisa went, I said, you ain't getting me. Then I got Holly. Holly, and they go, boy, Jesse, you know, let me cut you. Why? I don't know. I don't know. Are you afraid? No, I ain't afraid of nothing. That's not the issue. The issue is I might do what Kenny does. See, Kenny got some good hair. Stand up, Kenny. Let everybody see your hair. Go ahead. Stand up, Kenny. People think I'm going to say, now that's good hair. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the. And I like it. See, because you ain't got to do nothing.
You just get up. You think about shaving. You ever see how Kenny shaves? He shaves here. You don't have to worry about that. That's a blessing. I like that kind of stuff. Glory to God. But you know what? Because we're friends, Luis is not offended. Holly or not, they're not offended by no means. That's not the issue. The issue is, they would, and Kathy's not offended. But, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But what happens is I don't know why. I like me. I had someone tell me today, they said, well, but Jesse, that thing's kind of hanging down on your neck. I said, well, watch it. I can put it in my collar. See? I ain't worried about that. Stop. Glory to God. Let me say it again. Friendship cannot be one-sided. So we're not, because we speak openly to each other. Friends create a measure of equality between the persons concerned. I don't doubt that Luis is right, and I don't doubt that Holly's right. That's not the issue. I don't doubt it. I believe it because that's what they do for a living and all that kind of stuff. But when I decide to change, I let you know. Just that simple. Write this down. The friend of God must not spend one day without God. And you must not undertake anything apart from him. Write that down. The friend of God must not spend one day without God. And you must not undertake anything apart from him. Do you know even the smallest, minutest thing in this ministry, I consult the Lord about it? When I tell Ricky, do this so people know who I'm talking. I say, Ricky, we need a vehicle for the ministry. Ricky, a lot of time goes out and cuts those deals for me. And he'll call me on the phone. I say, don't say yay and nay yet. Call me on the phone. Tell me what you got. Because I'm busy. I'm running all the time. So Ricky, he says, I got a deal, but I got him cut that. While Ricky's going to do the deal on a truck or a van or whatever the ministry needs, I don't know. I'll say, Lord, I ask you to guide Ricky. I ask you to give him wisdom, insights, concepts, and ideas. And then, Lord, when he calls me about a particular deal, about something, Lord, I ask you to help me to make this decision, because the buck stops at my desk and starts at my desk. So Ricky will call me up and say, listen, I got it down to such and such or whatever, because we negotiators. We believe in that. We believe in good business. What do you think about this? And there's been times I've said no. I said, no, we're not going that way. Do something else. But there's been times I said, done. Tell him to bring the truck here. I'll have a check waiting for him. But you know what? Can I buy a car by myself? Yes, I used to sell cars when I was a kid. I mean, I understand that concept. Yes, I can do that. But I refuse to do anything in this mission or in my personal life without consultation with my friend. Why? Let me read it again. Write this down, so because I mean, you're taking it. The friend of God must not spend one day without God. You must not undertake anything apart from him. So I don't take anything apart from God. I say, even though I might know what to do, I consult him. Me and Kathy have been married quite a while. A lot of times we consult each other about things. There's been things I didn't want to do, but Kathy convinced me to do it because she was right and I was wrong. See, that a lot of times your friend or your wife, if she's your friend, they can see things you can't see. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you can be so close to something that you miss the small details. And the small details is what complements and makes that thing that you're doing wonderful. See, it is write this down. It's a strange kind of religion that doesn't want to be with God. They would rather think about something else. I know some people, they say they love God, but they don't want to be with him. They think of God only when they're in trouble. It's a strange kind of religion that doesn't want to be with God. That's amazing to me. Is God your life? Yeah. Well, why don't you want to be with him? They would rather think about something else. You know, I'm honest with you. Kathy was supposed to, she said, I'm gonna stay home this week. You know, I said, okay. I said, you know, I'm working hard. She's working hard. I said, wait, why don't you just come? Oh, you want to be with me? See, she likes that stuff. Go ahead and say it, Jesse. You want to be with me? Sure, Mama, I want to be with you. Yeah, why not? You know, why not? You know, got something to do. A lot of times, I mean, I've had people invite me, don't invite Kathy. I ain't going. I'll bring Kathy to a men's meeting, me. You know why? Well, because we're one. How do I separate myself? Now, I believe sometimes you need to, you know, she does her thing and I do my thing, that kind of stuff. Don't misunderstand me. We know that, you know. But I rode a motorcycle, but I always got an extra seat so she can ride on it. Now she wants to buy her a motorcycle so she can ride me. Now, you know how that's going to look? Look at that young woman driving that old man around. She wants me on the back of that motorcycle so bad. You know why? Because she met a couple. Way back in Casper, Wyoming. I'm telling you, when that man was 85 years old, his wife's 82. He used to drive her. They're the oldest gold wing, Honda gold wing riders in America. We met them. We were on a vacation on our motorcycle. And I look, and he come out there, he said, "You want to wash your car? Wash your motorcycle?" I said, "Yeah, you got some rags?" "Yeah." I said, "This your bike?" He said, "Yeah." And I met his wife, and I said, "Boy, I'm washing my bike. This is in a hotel parking lot." He said, "We the oldest gold wing riders in America." I said, "You mean to tell me y'all come here?" He said, "Yeah, what we do." He said, "We ride till we run out of money. Then we stop at a hotel and get a job, stripping beds, sheets and stuff like that. We make a little money, then we get on the bike and take off again." Now that's a life, isn't it? Glory to God. I said, "Y'all look like y'all enjoy." I said, "Oh, we do." He said, "You sure got a pretty bike, mister." I said, "You look so familiar." I said, "I'm Robert Shuler. How you doing?" "No." He said, "No." I said, "No, I'm Jesse DeVere." "Oh, you the funny man." I said, "Yeah, I'm the funny man. How you doing?" He said, "Boy, you say it. Good things. That really blesses me." I said, "Thank you." His wife, I said, "Will you drive your wife all over?" He said, "Well, the last 2 years, I'm getting a little older. She driving me now." I said, "You mean to tell me you sit on the back and your wife drive you?" He said, "I drove her for about 40 years. He said, "But she's stronger than me now. So I sit in the back." He said, "I should have let her drive all them years." He said, "I've seen more in the last 2 years I've seen in the whole 40 years. He said, "I drive in the back." And Kathy looked at me, she said, "One day I'm going to drive you, old whitehead." Sweetest people. I'm saying they're wonderful. But they enjoy each other. See? It's a strange kind of religion that doesn't want to be with God. That would rather think about something else. See, doing God's work is a great thing. Doing God's will is greater. Write that down. Doing God's work is a great thing, but doing God's will is greater. You know, there's been times I've been working so much that the Lord said, Jesse, this is my work. It'll hold. Stop. Let's talk. What? Stop. Talk. Let's just fellowship. Hello, Jess. Hey, let's just talk. See, I'm so interested in doing the work of God. That's true. But doing God's will is greater. Doing the work of God is a great thing, but doing God's will is greater. What is the will of God? To be a blessing to mankind. Genesis chapter 1 is the will of God. Actually, the will of God is Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 2, and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation. That's four chapters. If you want to know what God wants to do for you, you read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation. Between them four chapters is 1,186 chapters of killing, stealing, and destroying by an arch enemy called Satan. But Jesus is coming back. We're going back to Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and the last two chapters and in the book of Revelation. And man's going to walk in the cool of the day. So notice it. It's four chapters. That's the will of God. Split them, live long, and prosper. Where you think Star Trek got that from? See what I'm saying? If you want to know how God wants to treat you, you read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation. You'll find out the will of God for mankind, all for the human race. And everything in there, between there, is Satan trying to shut down happiness in your life, health in your life, finances in your life, causing problems between races, problems between religions. It's amazing that we have a lot of Christians that can't get together. I can get together. I can sit with my Catholic priest right easy. I can sit with my Baptist minister. I can sit with my Methodist minister. I can sit with my Episcopalian, my Church of God, my Church of Christ, my Word of Faith, my Full Gospel, my Church of God in prophecy. I can preach it white. I can preach it black, Lord. I can do whatever you want me to do. What do you want me to do? I can do it. Why? Because if we're Christians, you shouldn't judge Christianity by the conduct of Christians. You ought to judge Christianity by the conduct of Christ. So you know what? Christ would come to this church. Christ would go to the Vatican. Christ would go to the Methodist church down the street. Christ would go to the Full Gospel, to the Assemblies of God, to the United Pentecost. Christ will go. Why? Christians. I have a lot of people in my family. We all look a little different, yet we all look alike. So, and all of you think of, you put the Protestant church and the Catholic church, that we look alike in a lot of ways, and yet we're different in a lot of ways. Isn't that nice? I mean, wouldn't that irritate you if Kathy looked like me? I don't think I would have married her if she'd looked like me. You see what I'm saying? You want something better. So you can learn from each other. It's called iron sharpeneth iron. See what I'm trying to say? It's a blessing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Write this down. The Lord is a friend who can never know a limit in blessing. The Lord is a friend who could never, let me just say it again. The Lord is a friend who can never know a limit in blessing. What do you mean? God, if you're a friend, you bless your friends. Before David and Betty, our pastors, came here, I used to go preach for them at Castleview Assembly of God on Ferguson Road in Garland, Texas. I guess it was Garland or Dallas, Texas. Don't watch it. But there were sometimes I would come into Dallas. Remember, I do Christ for the Nations. I would call them. I'd say, hey, I want to go eat. I mean, I'm preaching this meeting here. I'm a little bit. Now, I know a lot of people in Dallas, but David and Betty, y'all, the only two I ever called. Every time I would sit there and be there, and I'd say, I wonder what David better do. So I'd call him and say, hey, because he know what good restaurants is. You know, pastor know what restaurants are. Pastor's a grazer, man. He know what a good grass is. I ain't talking about the smoking kind. I'm talking about the eating kind now. Watch yourself. And he'd say, boy, just I found this place. And you know, I'm not a big dessert eater. I never have been. But they would take me to this place every time. It was a pecan ball. Remember that crazy thing? It was chocolate pecan ball with vanilla ice cream. With hot fudge, you shoot it in your veins. That's how good it is. And I'm not a big dessert, but boy, we'd sit there just, you could hear smacking. You know, it was a nice restaurant, very high class, but we're trying to be cool looking, but man, it just after a while, forget this. Just that thing was so good. But let me buy it. I said, no, friends, bless each other. Well, God blesses me. God's always blessing me. His blessing is unlimited. I just never know when the Lord gonna bless me, but just anything. I said, but Lord, I wasn't thinking for that. I wasn't asking for that. He said, I know. And sometimes I do that with my friends too. I might just buy them something. And Kathy said, you make them feel bad. No, well, bless God. Hey, I learned this from God. You owe me nothing. You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to get you into me so you can owe me. No, I just want to be a blessing. The Lord is a friend who can never know a limit in blessings. You see what I'm saying? So I just love to do something. Like not long ago, I bought a friend of mine's wife a pair of shoes. She liked them shoes. I said, you like them shoes? Yeah, get them. Oh, I ain't never wore shoes that expensive. I said, well, today you do. She said, well, just enjoy yourself and buy them. So I said, okay, that's what I'm trying to do. You know, and her husband said, don't say that. I said, no, don't say that. Why? Because we know each other. So I bought her a pair of shoes. I said, you want something? He said, no. Oh, no. He said, they got something they have a hard time receiving. Oh, no. I said, so I just do it anyway. Why? And maybe I'm wrong in that, but I really believe I'm right in that. Well, but I might buy you something cost $2. See, the price of it means nothing to me. It's as if I like it. I've bought some things. Kathy said, that is trash. Yeah, but I like it. I can't believe you're going to wear that. Well, watch me, mama. That's ugly. Okay. You're only 1 in 6 billion. And you know, in 599, all up came and told me it was ugly. But there was one that said it wasn't ugly. Me. I just happened to like it. Then there's some things that Kathy buys I don't like. She'll put on a dress. She just love it. She say, you like that? I don't like that. I go, no. What do you mean? You know, I look at it, Jesse. I said, okay, I'm looking at it. Why don't you like it? I don't know. I don't like it. Well, does it make me fat? That's what a woman's always worried about. Do I look fat? Is this make my butt big? And most men lie like a dog. Oh, no, maybe it don't make it. Most men like big butts, so who cares? That ain't none of my business to start with. You understand? And then she gets mad at me because I don't like it. Why don't you like it? I don't know. I just don't like it. I can make Kathy buy something she don't like. If I know what to say. Boy, that thing makes you look like you lost 30 pounds. I want three of those. I want three of those. Bring them over here. But I don't lie to people because I want people lying to me. Yeah, I don't want people lying to me about that. But she said, well, but I like this, Jesse. I said, well, I'll buy it, Kathy. Where? But I know you're not going to. I won't enjoy it if you don't like it. I said, well, what do you want me to do? Wear sunglasses when I look at you? I don't know why I don't like it. I just don't like it. Why don't you let me put gel in your hair? Because when I was a kid, I was raised up with Royal Crown Jelly. How many men know what Royal Crown Jelly is? Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about, that Royal Crown Jelly? Lord, if a fly hit your head, kill him. Pow! Just knock him dead, son. I don't want that stuff in. I don't want any of that. Because I tell you what, man, you could sleep on your head. You used to have flat top, and your head would... Huh? How many of y'all, and you'd comb it and you'd get all that white stuff in the comb. Hold your hand up, Noah. Remember that, brother? David, you remember that? And then you'd have to just, you clog up the sink. So I just don't like that. You like the dry look? Well, I guess I do, if that's what it means. I don't know what, I swore if I can ever get away from this raw crown jelly. See, my mama combed my hair with raw crown jelly and spit. If my hair was not right, mama go. She'd lick her hand and stick it on my head. I go, mama, that's spit. Yeah, but it holds it down. I've had Kathy do this sometimes. No, you ain't putting your finger on my face, woman. No spit on my face. The Lord is a friend who can never know a limit in blessing. So I just want to be a blessing. What's wrong with that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Write this down. There is no friendship if self shuts out the friend for participation in one's life. There is no friendship if self shuts out the friend from participation in one's life. See, you see, when you begin to just exert yourself, it shuts out a friend and the participation in their life. See, you and I need friendship. Let me say it again. There is no friendship if self shuts out the friend from participation in one's life. What does that mean? That means I will go with someone and go to a place I don't particularly care to eat. Why? Because they like it. Because if it's always me, my four, and no more, something's wrong. You see, then it's one-sided. Jody and Ed, that's my son-in-law and my daughter. Now, don't write me no ugly letter, please. I don't like Indian food. I like the American Indian's food, elk. I like all that. But I'm talking about Indian curry. I tried. I went to the restaurant that Princess Diana in England went to. You'll love this. Me and Kathy went, I am not a person that likes Indian food. I ain't saying it's bad, but it's bad for me. First, it smells. And my nose, I'm like a greyhound on smells, buddy. There's just something about curry I don't like. I just don't like. Well, Jody and Ed, they get these time warps probably a year ago, I guess. They brought me, she said, Dad, you're going to like this. I sat down. The restaurant was beautiful, nice. Don't misunderstand. Oh, the service was impeccable. The food. I went, oh. I'm trying to find something on that table I like. So I got me a package of Sweet and Low. I like that. That's the only thing I found at that restaurant I like. Sweet and Low. I said, this is good. Oh, Daddy, try this. You're not enjoying it. No. Why did you come? Well, you're my son-in-law. You're my daughter, man. Y'all love it. Enjoy yourself. But we're not enjoying it. You don't enjoy it. Yeah, you are. You ate all of it, so you must have enjoyed it. Come on. Don't insult my intelligence. Yeah, but that's okay. Finally, I found a piece of chicken that I can wipe off with the napkin. That I got a little bit of that. And I said, Kathy, you like, oh, Jesse, I like this. I said, you ain't smiling too much. See, when somebody eat a piece of chicken like this. Do y'all like it? Kathy lie like a dog. Oh, yeah. This is good. Maybe I'm just too honest. I had a lady one time cook me a gumbo and asked me if I liked it in her house. Jesus. I said, I'm going to lie. Lord said, tell her the truth. I don't want to tell the truth. Jesus, tell her the truth. She said, you like it? But Jesse, I said, ma'am, this is trash. Her husband threw his fork down. I thought, that's it. He's going to hit me. He said, mister, you're the only preacher that's ever come here and told the truth. He said, preacher, come here. She's been cooking this trash. The dog don't even eat this. He told me that. She said, honey, I didn't know you didn't like it. He said, don't never, ever cook it again, honey. You are the worst gumbo person I've ever seen in my life. Never touch it. He said, sir, I'm going to your service tonight because you're the first preacher that ever told the truth. Came to my service that night and gave his life to God because I said his wife's gumbo was trash. That's a true story. I didn't want to. I felt that that was rude. But if I'm ever eating with you and I eat something, and they say, would you like some more? No, thank you. You and I need friendship. We cannot lead a self-contained and solitary life. See, You and I need it. You need it to work every day of your life. You see, you have to have that. If you notice, and that's why, you know, cities get big because people kind of like living around each other, like being close to each other. You find very few people like really way out in the country. They like the country, but boy, as long as they can get someplace and go somewhere. Because see, you got to have that camaraderie. Let me say it again. You and I need friendship. We cannot lead a self-contained and solitary life. Now, people say, well, why do you love God so much? Unless we trust God, we cannot be friends of God. See, I trust God. I trust God during Hurricane Katrina. I had to. What about if it had been two of them? Well, he didn't let me down. That's not the issue. I did all I know to do. He did all he know to do, and this building's here today for it. You see, but instead of believing that it was going to get blown away, I believed against it. Instead of accepting, oh God, what we're going to do. Mm-mm. Unless we trust God, we cannot be friends with God. See, friendship is manifested by love, communication, and care. See, when you're a friend, you have communication, you have love, and you care about each other. See, that's communication. I'm going over there. I could do this as a series. But Lord, and I may do it maybe one day as a series. Communication, care, and trust. That's what makes friendship. You begin to enjoy each other. Now write this down. This is very important. I'm going to close with this. A person is known through his friends. You cannot help judging a person by his companions. A person is known through his friends. You cannot help judging a person by his companions. What are you saying? Say, you ever had kids say, my boy's hanging around the wrong crowd? It's not a judge, but see, you begin to perceive and you see how things, because personalities can change you. A person is known through his friends. You cannot help judging a person by his companions. Jesus didn't call his disciples servants. He said, I call you friends. Jesus called Peter his friend. James, John, Bartholomew, Matthew. He didn't call them disciples. He called them friends. That's St. John chapter 15, verse 15. Go read that. That'll bless you. Jesus didn't call his disciples servants. He called them friends. And people say, well, Brother Jesse, what's the responsibility of a friendship? Why you call yourself a friend of God? God trusts his reputation to us Christian people. He has many interests in the world that we have to look after. God trusts his reputation to me. I have to make God look good. Which means what? Because the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in me or the Jesus in you. You see what I'm saying? God trusts his reputation to us Christian people. He has many interests in the world that we have to look after. See, that's why I don't get, I had a Muslim call me one time, Muslim, you know, because I'm on television. You go, how come your Jesus is better than my Muhammad? I said, I didn't say that. You said that. He said, well, why didn't you accept Muhammad? Have you ever read the Quran? I said, yes. Yes. I said, you know, I am a doctor of divinity. We have a Catholic Bible and a Protestant Bible. What's the difference? You know what the difference is? The Deuterocanonical books. That's the difference between the Catholic Bible and the Protestant Bible. The Deuterocanonical books. In other words, the Catholic doctrine, chapter 1st and 2nd Maccabees, you know, different. And have you read those? Yeah. Yeah. I've read many epistles. I've read, why? Because I'm a doctor of divinity. You know, are you judging? No, I'm not looking to find a mistake. I'm looking for knowledge. You see what I'm saying? So I realized, people say, why do you love the Jews so much? Well, they gave us Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Jesus. They gave us the patriarchs, the disciples, the apostles. Of the 66 books of the Bible and the Protestant Bible, 65 of them are wrote by Jews, one's wrote by a Gentile. What part of that you don't understand? You can't be a Christian without loving the Jew because Jesus is Jewish. But you hear, now let me help you here. I don't try, because I know a man is a Jewish man, I don't try to make him a Christian. I couldn't make him a Christian, David, if I wanted to. Right. Only he can make himself a Christian. Right. I can't make a Muslim unless he makes that decision. See, that decision lies within you, not within me. I just let my light shine. He said, well, why do you accept Jesus other than Muhammad? I said, because he's the only one got rid of the evidence. What do you mean? Man, I had sin around me. Muhammad didn't do nothing with my sin. In fact, he said he was a sinful man. Muhammad said that. I didn't say that. He said that. Buddha didn't do nothing. But Jesus washed my sin away. Amen. He got rid of my evidence. That set me free. That's why. That's why I can worship in a Catholic church or a Protestant church. In a denominational church or a non-denomination or interdenominational. See, I don't struggle with those things like a lot of people do. Why? Because I'm not trying to go change you. What I want to do is make you, hey, you can be a friend of God. You see what I'm saying? And when you become a friend of God, but then that responsibility is given to you to take care of the interests of God on the planet. And the interests of God is more than just feeding the poor. How about feeding the rich? Have you ever gave a rich man something?
Yes.
Think about that for a minute. Wait. Why not? Well, they don't need nothing. They ain't got anything to do with need. It has to do with love. It's called an act of love. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't care. I blessed a friend of mine one time with something that Kathy gave me that I really loved. It was a beautiful rifle. I mean, it was a 270 Weatherby Laser Mark V. I mean, with the laser. I mean, I love that. Kathy blessed me with that. And I mean, I used it on a hunt. I loved it. It was beautiful. And I don't just kill. I don't kill something I don't eat. I mean, I'm going to eat it. And we don't eat a lot because I'm not that good, you know. We go to restaurants. I go to Filippo's because friends out. Right? I've let him into my inner circle. Not that I'm a big shot. Don't misunderstand me. But I also like his food. I can tell when he does my dish. I know it. I know what he means. I can tell the difference between the Parmesan cheese. I can tell. I said, oh, if I get an oyster, I said, Philip cooked this oyster. He just knows. He just knows. And that's a good place to eat. And if you want leather goods, if you want beautiful, you go to Mr. Wehrmeyer. I mean, I'm just saying that. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, man. He got some fine stuff in there at real good prices. And he won't lie to you. You know what I'm saying? So I recommend people who I know are honorable. Why? I have a responsibility for that. Well, I have a responsibility to protect the interests of God. Let me close. God trusts his reputation to us Christians people. He has many interests in the world that we have to look after. So why did you become the friend of God? Well, friendship justifies you, purifies you, and regulates your life. My friendship with God has regulated my life, purified my life, and justified my life. That's what it means. That's what made Abraham the friend of God. That's why the world calls Abraham the friend, God's friend. It justified his life. It purified his life. It justified, it purified, and it regulates your life. See? Why? Because a friend will never lie to you. A friend will tell you the truth. And people say, well, you shouldn't say that. No, I'd rather somebody tell me what they really mean instead of have to find it out from someone, something being said behind my back. You see what I'm saying? Just tell me. You know, I have people, I told them, I said, listen, if you don't like me, tell me. That's all right. I can handle it. But if you knew me, you'd love me. I don't mean that pridefully. You would, because I'm a good man. I won't hurt you. Now, there's some things I don't like, and there's some things you don't like, so we agree to disagree on that. See what I'm saying? I had a man tell me one time, he said, I won't let you preach in my church because you don't have a collar on. I got a collar. I do have it. I said, well, if I preach backwards, do I look like I got the collar? See my collar? Look at it. See? Look at it. I said, what's the difference, sir? The clergy is, we have what we call clothes of office. Okay? We understand that. That's not the issue. But a judge is a judge without the robe on or off. See what I'm saying? Now, sometimes I marry people, I'm in a suit. Sometimes I marry with my marital robe. Now, people like me in that robe for some reason. They love that robe, the way that thing looks. Well, it's never my decision. I ask the people that we're marrying, what would you like for me to wear? Oh, Reverend, what? No, excuse me. This is your wedding. I'm just the officiant. I'm going to officiate over this thing. What do you want? Why? Because I want this to be the only one. Amen. I want this. If Jesus tarried, I want to see you real old like this. Just holding each other's hand. Just being blessed. We have a wonderful friend, Dr. I call him Dr. Brother Harold Nichols and Lou Nichols. Oh, God. How old is Brother Harold? 87, 88, something like that. And she's a good 85. You ought to see him. They hold hands. I said, Brother Nichols, can I ask you a question? He said, well, Jesse, he said, me and Lou are not only husband and wife, we're friends. He said, we have never, ever had an argument. How long have you been married, Kathy? 50 or 60 years. Huh? Yeah, maybe a little. We've never had an argument. I said, you have never had an argument? Not one? He said, no, I came from a hollering family. And Lou came from a hollering family. And on our wedding day, we held hands and said, we will never holler at each other. We have never had an argument. He said, but we've had a lot of quiet times. I said, well, he's sometime a week. We had a lot of quiet times. But we never argue. I would not raise my voice to her. She would not raise my voice. So we didn't have any voice. I said, would you please tell that to my wife over here? Would you? I'll never forget. And I just, we love to watch them. You can imagine. Everybody's just watching Brother Harold and Lou Nichols. And they just walk around. And if you're watching today, Brother Nichols, we love him. He lives in Fort Worth, Texas. I mean, he's such a blessing. And Lou's such a blessing. It's wonderful to be around those people. And I went to Israel with them. And you know, I'm walking up and down. That's tough work. Man, Israel's hilly. It's mountainous. You see, I mean, it's not. And buddy, he was with her. I don't think he ever turned a hand loose. He just was there. And we it was wonderful to see that. Then I realized that I was being blessed by not only love in its purest form, but friendship in its purest form. So if you hear me talk a lot about God, I kind of pick up on it or whatever. If you know, why is he so religious? I'm not religious. I'm born again. I just know the Lord and I like my God. But no, let me change that. I love my God and my God loves me. That's not arrogance or cockiness. He will do something for me today. I know it. I know God. I will do something for him today. The other day I gave the Lord something. You know what he said, Pia? And I closed. He said, Jesse, what are you doing? I said, I just thought I'd bless you. You surprised me. I said, I'm glad. Now, that may sound crazy. Does God know everything? Yeah. But sometimes he blocks his mind so you can bless him. You want scripture for that? God said, let's see if Abraham, will he offer up Isaac? Brother, and he went to offer up Isaac, and guess what happened? God said, stop. Now, because I know. You see, God has the power to block something of his own to see what you would do. He blocked it. He said, now, because I know that you will not withhold your own son. You know what he did? God said, you don't have to offer your son. I will offer my son. And thank God that Jesus went to the cross. The valley of a friend. Did you enjoy it today? Stand to your feet right now. Come on, give the Lord a standing ovation. Hallelujah. What a blessing of the Lord. The valley of a friend. Hallelujah. And you know, friendship and friends, sometimes you may not be able to get together, but if you're friends, you understand. I asked about you, Brother Pichon, last night. I did. I know you've been working real hard. They got you running 90 to nothing. People driving you crazy. Lord, nobody told me that. Lord told me that. I asked Kathy, I said, what a peace on us. She said, oh, they're there, Jesse. The Lord put you on my heart last night. He said, pray for him. See, you can't make everybody happy. But I know this man. He would if he could. I know he'll do it himself if he has to. So I said, Lord, just bless him and help him. Minister to him. So if I don't call you, it's not because I hadn't thought of you. And then sometimes I thought about Denise last night. I was writing up this sermon. The Lord brought you, Denise, to my mind. I saw your face. He said, pray for her and bless her. I said, I will. Brought it to my mind, see. See, God is very concerned about us. I thought about you, Mr. Wilmeyer, the other day. I was flying home and you came across my mind. And I said this. Monahan's business. Business might be a little tough. And I talked to him a little bit more. And he said it's been a little tough. Not as many people in the quarter and things like that. I said, but that's a friend of mine. Yeah. So I prayed for you. I asked the Lord to help you and help your business. Because I know you're an honorable man. He blessed me. I guess the greatest honor he's bestowed upon me. And he's given me beautiful alligator shoes. He asked me to preach his wife's funeral. I'll never forget that. And sometimes I can't, but I knew I had to on this. And I think it helped him, helped his family, and it helped me. You see, people understand care. You know, the people in my offices, you know, there's certain departments I'm very close to. Evangelism department, because I work with them constantly. Aviation department. Finance department, I work with them. Not that I don't love my other departments, I do. I do recognize a lot of things going on. I think about it. So if I hadn't said it, it's not that I didn't think about it. Yeah.
But then I said, Lord, how do you do all this? How do you keep everybody in your mind? How do you bless everybody? He said, the greatest gift you can ever give anyone, Jesse, is thinking of them. Not just on a holiday, not just on a birthday or a Christmas day. See, I celebrate Christmas every day. Why? Christ in me, the hope of glory. I saw a state trooper the other day and I said, I wonder if that's Kenny. And I realized it wasn't. But then I had Kenny on my mind for about, 10 minutes. So I said, Lord, bless Kenny and his wife. What they work on. I do that. Pia brought me a coat because she fixed my coat. And I didn't even tell her that. While I was trying it on, I thought, I wonder where Ron is. Because I know Ron works nights sometimes. He's tired. And Ron will just come to church when he's tired. You know what I'm saying? And you know, he's at that plant. Lord, make sure he's safe. Things of that nature. I'm just mentioning people. I thought about you, Ricky. I said, Lord, I ask you to let Ricky gain a little weight. I did. I prayed that. I mean, not that you look bad, but I think you need to gain some weight. Ricky loves Coke and Snickers. I said, Lord, maybe that's not too good, but let him eat some and enjoy some. Because Ricky's had, you know, he's fought his body in a lot of areas and God's helped him. I said, let him gain a little weight, Jesus. Help. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. I mean that, sincerely. There were several things that was just going over in my mind. Just thinking. See, then I realized that I wasn't thinking. That God was placing things in my mind. Because he loved y'all. He said, Jesse, I'll pray for him. If I mention it to him. If I just touch his brain. Because he knows that I value them. And he values me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's a little late, but it's never too late to give your life to God. You that are watching all over the world today, would you become a friend of God? Would you let Christ come into your life? I'd like you to do that. Every head bowed, please. If you'd like to know God instead of just knowing about him. If you'd like God to be your friend. You might be religious, but do you know the Lord? There's a vast difference between knowing God and just being spiritual. You see, you fellowship with God. I'd like to introduce the Lord to you today. Maybe you're struggling with your Christianity. Maybe you're born again, you know the Lord, but temptations are getting the best of you and you want to quit that stuff. And you want that to stop affecting you. Would you give me the honor of letting the Lord bring you closer to him? So with your head bowed, if you'd like to know God instead of just knowing about him, or if you're not where you should be with God and you need to come back to him, to draw closer to him, would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Can I see hands? Thank you. I see those hands. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I see your hand. Could I see one more? Don't miss my Jesus. Thank you. I see those hands. What a blessing. What a blessing. Look at that. People that just want to get close to God or get closer. Could I see another quickly? Thank you. I see your hand. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I want everyone to look at me. I know it's 12:15. It's a little late. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand. I'm going to ask you to get your Bible, your purse, whatever you brought with you. I'm going to ask you to walk forward, stand here in front of everybody. Yeah. What's wrong with that? Jesus hung on a cross in front of everybody. You know, I prayed for Mel Gibson the other day. Hey, what do you agree or disagree? It's not the issue. Get out of your seat and come. You lifted your hand quickly. And you may not realize, you that are watching, I prayed for the Palestinians yesterday. I said, you know, they're Palestinian Christians. Struggling and hurting. I prayed for Israel. I even, man, prayed for my enemies. God said, bless those that persecute you. Pray for those that despitefully you. Quickly come. Oh, God, look at the people that want to be your friend. Look at the people that want to be your friend. Thank you. What a blessing. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Would you repeat it after me? Let's say it together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me and for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart, I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there. Give him a hand clap. Wasn't that easy? Thank you. Wasn't that a blessing?